You're listening to Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears, impacting marriages that leave a lasting legacy.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Hello. Thanks for joining us today.
Yes. Welcome to the Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears. We're so glad you could join us today. One thing we want to make sure people do is, you know, we believe this is powerful content, powerful teaching that we do about marriage. And just please like and share the broadcast. Share it with anyone that you know that is looking for maintenance, if you will, of their marriage.
Well, and it could be a refresh.
It could be a restart.
It could be you're starting from square one, or you just need a little prop up.
Yeah. You need some encouragement. You need some continuous improvement in your marriage. You don't want to leave things just sitting idle. So it's always good.
It's a lifelong journey.
It is a lifelong.
And we'll talk about that today.
Yeah. Some of you might be in crisis and you're wondering, how did I get to this place? Well, today we're going to actually talk about that and maybe help you understand why that might be, because some people think that just, you know, you might find somebody that likes what you like, or you know, you found your soulmate and that person's made for me. Well, that's actually not biblical. So we're going to talk about that today. And so today's topic is the four laws of marriage.
Yeah. We did touch on the four laws of marriage back in December of 2022.
We did.
It was a message titled Doing Marriage God's Way,
right?
I believe,
yeah.
Where we kind of just inserted the four laws back then. But I felt, or we felt, it was important to dive a little bit deeper into actually the four laws and highlight them as this part of our message.
Yeah, so these things are foundational. I mean, God doesn't put things in His Word just to be looked over, glazed over, and not understood. And so we're thankful that we got some revelation about this ourselves, and that really the foundation of any good and successful marriage is based upon these four laws. So if you're not implementing and doing these things that God laid out in the very first book in the Bible.
Yeah, don't just be hearers of the Word, but be doers.
Absolutely. So thank you for pulling that scripture in.
It's not just, like you said, oh, this is a great, fun book to read, and then I'm just going to continue in my life of sin.
Yeah, there's some great stories there, but you have to read it. Like, you know, when you read the Bible, you have to ask Holy Spirit to, you know, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've got Jesus Christ, you've got the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. So Holy Spirit taking residence up in within you. And so when you read the Bible, you can ask, Holy Spirit, help, you know, bring revelation to me today in the words that I read. From you, bring it, make it personal to me. Help me where I'm at in my life or what I have questions about, and just help me to understand from your perspective. Give me insights that I cannot see with just natural, you know, my natural mind. I need my spiritual mind to be awakened so that I'm actually seeing your truths come alive in my heart.
And we do a lot of what we do. Yes, we say to leave a legacy, and that is exactly why we do what we do. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, you know, people, they're just afraid of where their marriage is headed. They're afraid that it's just a mystery to them, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we want to just demystify any preconceived, you know, ideas or notions that people have about it's always got to be this way, or we're always going to be in chaos, or we're never going to have peace. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's just not the union, that's not the marriage that God intended for His people.
Right. So let's look at the scripture. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. And from this, these four laws, this is where they come from.
Amen.
And so again, the very first book of the Bible, God lays it out for marriage in the very beginning. And so let's just take a look at that. And I'm reading from the Amplified Classic Version. And so this is what it says. It says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall become united and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So again, we're going to pull out the four laws out of these. And then verse 25 says this, and the man and his wife were both naked and were not embarrassed or ashamed in each other's presence.
Amen.
So, there are four laws within that.
Yeah.
And we didn't see that initially.
I've read that. How many times have we read that verse?
Over and over.
How many times have we heard it at weddings? How many times have you said it at weddings? You know, it's one of those things where you can read the Bible till the day you die, and God is going to illuminate different things every step of the way.
Right.
And it's really cool to, just in those two simple verses, that we get four fundamental foundational laws mm-hmm. for marriage that will set you, if you are able to follow these and grab a hold of these, which I believe you will, it'll set your marriage on fire.
It will.
It really will.
And the Bible does not contradict itself. God never contradicts himself. So God's not a liar
that's right.
You know, he's like you and I. I mean, we in sin, when we're born into sin in this world, we have the tendency, like, God is not like us, mm-hmm. that he should lie, mm-hmm. His word says. And so he's not going to contradict. And so, yes, we're going to read that. We've read this from the beginning of the book, the first book of the Bible. But God confirms his word even throughout. And Jesus Amen. Even speaks about
That's right.
this very scripture in Matthew chapter 19, I believe it's verse 5. So even Jesus drew from the first
Amen.
Book, the
That's
original,
right.
because he was there. He was the word made flesh, it says in John chapter 1. And so he drew from the very truths of the word, the foundation that was laid at the very beginning, to just reinforce, yes, this is truth. This
yeah.
is what is going to make
Amen.
A life and a marriage successful.
And that's a great point of, like, we can't just be New Testament Christians.
Right.
The whole Bible. You are a whole Bible. We
yeah.
are a whole, full gospel, full Bible, full Old Testament, New Testament Christian people.
Well, and Jesus said, you know, Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to actually fulfill the law.
Fulfill.
So he's not getting rid of anything. He's mm-hmm. just, yes, there's a new covenant that we're under.
Thank you, Jesus.
But he didn't abolish any of that.
That's
he said,
right.
I just came and I fulfilled it. So
yeah,
that's
so
powerful.
Let's just jump in.
Yeah.
This first one is really, I'm glad that we decided it was kind of a Holy Spirit thing that I was going to cover this first law.
Yeah.
The beginning of Genesis 2:24 says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother."
Mm-hmm.
So what we're talking about here is the law of priority.
Yeah.
A man will leave his father and mother. A woman will leave her father and mother.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, this is something that women struggle with. I don't know if men do too. You could speak
yeah,
to that.
Yeah, I have.
You know, from the moment you say I do, and you have left your father and your mother, both male and female, and you are now, your marriage is priority number one. I didn't get that.
I didn't
And
either.
A lot of people don't get that.
No.
It's really, I could just stop there on that law. It's plain and simple. But getting the heart to understand that when you are mm-hmm. 20, 21, 20, whenever you get married and you're young and dumb, right? And you're not, you know everything. And you know, us girls want to always, you know, run to mom, you know, and get her opinion and get, you know, well,
Or if you're a daddy's girl, you want protection from your
dad. Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely. That's a
yeah.
great point.
Yeah.
And but the Bible's very clear. And in not following this law of priority, putting your marriage first, in not doing that, it just brings in, as it did for us, a lot of chaos, because you can't be the head of the house. And I'm not surrendering to my husband in the way that the Lord asked me to in his word. And it just brings in all kinds of division. And
well, and if I could just add, mm-hmm. you know, yes, it's a matter of it surrendering to one another, right? Because
Absolutely.
We're serving each other.
Absolutely.
But I think the other thing, and what we're saying here is that we're not surrendering to the process of coming together. We're
right.
not, we're not surrendering our two different worlds.
Yeah.
That we came
yeah.
from,
yeah.
and we're not surrendering for us to come together.
Because you've got to create a new, we have to create a new life together. It's
exactly.
not going to look like my parents. It's not going to look like his parents. It's going to look like
I
us.
Mean, we draw upon those
Absolutely.
Things. Some of those things being healthy, some of those things maybe not being
right.
healthy.
Right.
And so, but what we want is, we want this to really establish what this is going to look like.
Yeah.
Not what somebody else says or what we've learned from our past. And so it becomes
yeah,
a priority for
absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely. So before marriage, absolutely, your mother and your father are priority. They are the ones that are guiding you. They're the ones that are directing you.
Yeah.
They are the most important relationship before you get married. But once you're married, after marriage, your spouse is first. Your marriage is first.
Right.
And God's not saying forsake your parents.
Right.
We honor our parents. We respect
yep.
our parents. We give them the honor and respect that is due to them. And we still value them and appreciate, and we still have them in our lives. It's not like you have to cut,
yeah.
you know, it's not cutting ties. It's not cutting relationship. It's honestly, if you do it the way God intends to it, intended it to be, it is so fulfilling and adds to mm-hmm. your life, because mm-hmm. now you have a marital unit that is one, but then you're adding to each set of parents that are also breathing life into your marriage.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it only so marriage only works. It really only works if God, if number one, you put God first, but you put
God's first.
Yeah. If your marriage comes first in your life, if you make it a priority.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, before your children, before work, before church, before everything, your marriage is and has to be priority number one. Mm-hmm. Because if this isn't right, everything that flows under us, our church, mm-hmm. our children, our families, is not going to be. It's not going to be. It's out of order, and out of order is chaos. And God is not a God of chaos.
There you go.
Jesus, God is. They are the ones that are above the Trinity. I'll just say, since I added all that in, they're above. We put them first. We put Him first, and then our spouses.
The Godhead is first in our life.
Absolutely.
So God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ. You know, the Word says that He was Emmanuel, God with us. Mm-hmm. So Jesus came and lived a life to show us the life that we can live. He modeled that for us. He brought us out of death and resurrected us to new life. And Amen. So we have Holy Spirit as our guide and our counselor, God in the Spirit teaching us, living on the inside of us, directing our paths. And so that's so powerful.
You know, that's something that, you know, and she would agree with us, our youngest. I had to, when she got married, I had to keep redirecting her, and we had to keep redirecting her mm-hmm. to her new husband, because mom and dad were the go-to people.
We were comfortable.
You know, we were the go-to people for her entire life.
Yeah,
and absolutely. And I'm not saying it's easy. But fortunately, we understood it at that point, you know, that she needs to cleave to her husband. He needs to feel that she is making him a priority, that mm-hmm. she is seeking his counsel, and that she is seeking him out on their marriage and what mm-hmm. they need to be doing and the decisions that they're making.
Yeah.
And so there for a time, and every once in a while, I'll be like, well, you know, what does your husband think about that? What does he want to do? Have you asked him what his wishes are? And it just helps to reprioritize her in reprioritizing her marriage.
Amen.
And I think that's why I say, you know, women struggle a little bit more, because we are a little more attached, maybe.
Yeah.
To our parents or to our moms or dads or whatever. But I you know, like I said, I can't speak for guys or men. So
I'm moving into the second law.
Yeah.
Second law is the law of pursuit. So this is this word, I mean, just the synonym for this is work. Mm-hmm. The law of pursuit basically means you have to work at your marriage. It's not going to just happen automatically.
Right.
You have to pursue one another. That's like when the word, when we read the scripture in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, it says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and shall become united and cleave.
Mm-hmm.
Cleave means to be drawn together, to work at, bringing those, as I mentioned before, bringing our two worlds together and making those one and united in our pursuit. So a man, a woman, doesn't matter, but a man and a woman, they should prioritize each other.
Mm-hmm.
That should be the goal now. It's not, I can't prioritize my family, where I came from. I have to prioritize the likes, the dislikes, all those things that my wife is wanting out of the marriage in a healthy way, and all those things that I want out of our marriage in a healthy way, and bringing those things together so that we have prioritized each other for what's important.
And what you're saying is that we'll know one another.
Absolutely.
In a deeper level, to be able to pursue on a deeper level.
Right. I should know your likes, your dislikes, and all those things, so that I'm trying to fill your love tank, so to speak. So that you're, you know, you are feeling, number one, that you are a number one priority in
mm-hmm.
my life,
mm-hmm.
and I feel the same way from my perspective, and to know that you're not putting something ahead of me. I know many times in my life, and, you know, I used to work in the corporate world in the automotive industry, and so many times I put work ahead of Donna in the family. I had my priorities out of balance. I mean, God wasn't even on the throne at that time.
Right,
you know,
for sure.
Honestly,
for either
speaking.
One of us, yeah.
Yeah, for either one of us. So God wasn't on the throne of my life. I was on the throne of my life. I was making the decisions. You hear all these I words I'm saying right now?
He was on the throne of my life.
I'm on the throne, okay? A lot of self-directed life is what I was doing. And so that's not good. Yeah, and so you don't actually want that in your marriage either. You want to have this become the direction together. Yes. You know, it's you know, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves because I'll be talking about another
That's all right.
One of the laws. But, you know, to say that, you know, I think there's this lie out there that, you know, if I just find my soulmate, right, then everything's just going to be, you know, blissful and perfect, and I'm not going to have any problems or whatever. Well, what you're basically saying is that if I just find that if I find that right person, then I don't have to work at it. That's a lie.
Yeah.
That's a lie. Yes.
You'll never find that person. It'll never happen.
I mean, you may to some degree, but at some point, what drew you together initially, as we found out, what drew us together initially, like we thought, like, okay, this is going to work. We found like at some point in our life, in our marriage, around probably 6-7 years in, we started to repel because the things that drew us together initially repelled each other.
Honeymoon
was way over.
Way over.
And so you can't base that. You can't base your life off of just saying, oh, I've got to find my soulmate. No. What we're saying about in law number two is it's a law of pursuit. You have to work at your marriage. You have to pursue your husband. You have to pursue your wife. So that you're working together and you're bringing joy and happiness into the relationship. It's just not going to happen on autopilot.
You know, it's interesting because every other area of our life, we work at. We work at our jobs.
Right.
We work at our friendships and our relationships. We work at our relationship with our children. You know, that looks different in different stages. We work at all these other things.
Well, I'm just thinking about some men. You know, some men have a lot of hobbies. You know, whether it's I play golf from time to time when time's available. But golf or, you know, my brother loves to fish. Well, you know, if my priorities were wrong, to your point, right, and I wanted to get a better golf score, you know, each and every week for 18 holes. Like I wanted to shoot below 80 or whatever for golf. Well, I would be out there working and working and working my tail off if my priorities weren't right.
That's right.
To get my golf score below 80. Well, why am I not doing the same thing for my wife? Why am I not working that
hard? Hear what he's saying. Get this in, you know, let it sink into
your spirit. I'm talking to you guys right now. I mean, maybe some of you ladies do things like, you know, in the U.S., I mean, women like to do a lot of crafting and things like that where they're picture books and...
Oh, my goodness.
Donna loves to quilt. I mean, I'm just kidding. Anyway, there's some...
Just move on.
Not trying to offend.
No,
okay,
we're
some
just
people,
move on.
Some ladies, maybe guys too, like to quilt. I don't know. But I don't. But, you know, whatever that thing is, it's taking priority in your life and not your marriage. If your marriage is not first, that becomes a problem. Mm-hmm. And so you're not going to pursue each other the way that you need to pursue each
other. And potentially the way that you pursued me when we were courting, I'll just say, or dating.
Yeah.
You know, the way that I pursued him before
we were
married.
All those dates at Zantigo.
Ooh, yeah, that's right. we were living high on the hog.
Yeah, Zantigo was a separate, like...
I still love Zantigo.
We're dating ourselves. We are, but that's okay.
Time.
It was a you know, Taco Bell kind of restaurant, but I think Taco Bell ended up buying them up. But we loved like some of their like special foods that they had.
Yeah, just don't go into it. But
yeah, anyway, we're not doing that. So what's the point? We just can't stop working at it. And you're going to say, well, how long do I have to do this, Pastor Richard? Your whole life. Until you die.
Until Jesus returns or go meet Jesus in heaven.
It's not going to stop. You always have to... Life changes. We go through seasons in life that change. You know, we're raising our family. We become empty nesters. Our kids are going through college or school or what. There's seasons of life that change, and there's more busy times in life than others, but you still have to pursue each other. You still have to set aside time to pursue and to be with one another in times, you know, of intimacy, just dating, whatever. But you cannot allow the busyness of life, which we're guilty of at times, even today, to take over your marriage and to rule and reign in your marriage, because you're going to fall. You're going to wonder one day, and you're going to wake up and your kids are going to be gone. You're going to say, I don't know you anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did an episode. You guys were overseas one time, and I did an episode of The Sneaky Deception of Busyness.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That is a very good one, because it really can overtake you before it happens in the church realm as well. Like for me, I'm a doer, I'm a helper. I have the gift of helps and hospitality, and before you know it, you know, you're doing more for the church than you are for your family.
Exactly.
And that's what we're talking about, just busyness and getting your priorities straight. You know, I am speaking with a lady right now who's just become an empty nester. And she's like, who is this person?
Right.
And what do we do?
And why are you here?
Why are you
Can
here?
You go get
and
a job?
You are annoying me. And so you have to rediscover. And, you know, they will rediscover one another. They will, if you pursue and prioritize.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely, they can and will. But, you know, if you know this on the front end, if this is something on the front end of your marriage, right, you can have that in your mind through job changes, through life changes, through children, and through all of that, to where when you get to that point where it's just you two again, you're like, oh, hey, hi there, how
hi
you
there.
Doing,
yeah.
sexy, love you kind
wow.
of thing. Yeah, so,
stop that.
So that's what
we're
talking
live
about.
Right now.
That's what we're talking about. So yes,
you
have to work on your marriage. You have to prioritize your marriage. You have to pursue your spouse until the day you die.
And it never stops. So law number three.
Law number three.
Yeah.
I have, I don't know if you would give your opinion on me, but this is called...
Not here.
Where's the...
We'll do that later.
Where's the... okay, so they shall become one flesh.
Yeah.
Is this one we're talking about for law number three?
Yeah.
They shall become one flesh. This is the law of partnership.
Yeah.
Marriage is sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is sharing,
that's
and that
good.
Means everything. And
there
that's,
you go.
That, you know, the two become one, the law of partnership. So the more you share, the better your marriage will be.
Yeah.
I have a particular problem with sharing, mostly my snacks. Other than that, I don't really, if I share a snack and say, hey, you can have some, then it's gone the next day. And I like to like have some snacks for the rest of the month.
I think you're getting delivered.
I think he's in denial. So I typically...
You know, I know that she, you know, has a trouble with sharing her snacks.
I actually feel really like selfish and possessive.
Especially
when I
malted
do
milk balls.
And Mike and Ike's and...
Yeah, she's got her list.
Hey,
you know, anyway, so I try to be more sensitive to that. And I only take those when they're offered to me, because she likes to have like a little stash or her stockpile of snacks so that she...
They're on my end table, so he knows he needs to ask, I'm telling you what, this guy's a snacker.
It's a wonder you don't have like a big rat trap set on there.
If I could, I would, but I wouldn't want to hurt you.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, we're not really talking about snacks, are we? I mean,
we're just making a funny, but it's still about sharing, right?
It's what we're talking about is the law of partnerships. We make important decisions together.
Absolutely.
We talk about things. We discuss things. We, you know, I'm like, what is the budget? And this is what I would, you know, can we do this or whatever?
Can I share an example about that?
Yeah,
so, you know,
absolutely.
We've been doing a remodeling project in our kitchen, you know, repainting. We kept our cabinets, but we've got new appliances,
I love
put new
cabinets.
Flooring in. I've done a lot of the work. You know, I had to hire some contractors for electrical and gas lines and stuff like that. But, you know, so from that, I had to set a budget for this year on what we can spend. You know, we're hoping to do a couple rooms, but based on what we had to do in the kitchen, not. So,
which is totally fine. I don't think I'm up for another major reno.
So here's the cool thing. I mean, these are decisions that we made together on what we were going to do. And we're thinking this is probably the last time we're going to do a major reno in our kitchen. But regardless, so she keeps checking in as we've been, you know, finishing up the project. She goes, there's some other things that I've been adding to my wish list that I'd like to do, you know, to hang some things, pictures and, you know, stuff for the new sink, for like grates to drain the dishes. And anyway, all that kind of stuff. So she's got a wish list. And so she's asked me, so where are we at from our budget standpoint? Can I do this? So that amount of money that she's asking, which isn't a lot, isn't really a problem, but it's the fact that she's sharing in the understanding and the decision, and she's including me and not just saying, well, I'm just going to go buy this. I don't know what the budget is. I don't really care.
Which is what happened in the past.
Yeah, but we're sharing in these decisions because they're important. We need to be united in what we're doing. I mean, she knows that, you know, if we're pushing over a budget and we have, you know, everybody has limitations, right? And so I want to please her. I really do. That's the desire of my heart, is to please her, to give her everything that she could possibly have. And I'm just so thankful that God has blessed us in such a way that we can do that. And I want to continue to do those kinds of things. But at some point, everybody hits a limit. And so you've got to be able to talk about these things mm-hmm. and share in the dreams and in the common goals.
And it's not that I am asking permission, number one. And here's the reason why. I'm not the money person in this relationship.
Yeah.
So I don't want you guys out there listening and hearing like, well, he's lording over her, that he's keeping money.
No, well, I've been
that
known.
That is not what it is about.
Listen, in the past, I've been known to be the fun sucker.
Oh, yeah.
I would just suck the fun out of everything. Why are you even asking me? She goes, I'm just dreaming right now, okay? Can you allow me to dream a little bit?
Sure. No, no.
So
dreaming, Donna dreaming gives him anxiety, apparently.
Yeah, for me, it's like, you know, push the little dynamite lever and just blow everything up. No, I've gotten better along that
you
line.
Have,
so,
you have, yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you want to work together and you want to share in important decisions. And everything that you have, from your bank account to your investments to your home to whatever that is, you share in that.
Yes.
And you also share in your feelings and your emotions.
Absolutely.
You don't, you know, we both can be this way where we just kind of like internalize things for a time and we just have a hard time. Because sometimes, you know, we've dealt with we're in some difficult life situations right now with
mm-hmm.
family,
mm-hmm.
with health issues and things. And so sometimes we hold these things in, but really we need to share those with one another. That's important.
And I'm trying to be better about that.
Yeah.
Like putting names to what I'm feeling, because I really struggle with that.
Right.
You know, I have a tendency to put things in a box. You
right.
know, men tend to do that. I err on that side. However, that's just how I learned to deal with things as a kid.
And that's not, and I'll just say that's not a good thing, because honestly, because, you know, she's the love of my life and I care about her and everything that she deals with, I want to know that I can be there for her. I can pray for her. I can lift her up. I can encourage her, or I can just sit with her in silence and hold her.
Mm-hmm.
That's still sharing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sharing. I mean, Jesus came, you know, there was that time when Lazarus in the Bible, when he died and his sister came and ran at his feet and she said, Lord, if you would have been, and Jesus wept.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus, you know, that he's again modeling for
mm-hmm.
us, you know,
Amen.
The compassion and the mercy that he has toward us. I want to have that same compassion and mercy toward my wife as she does toward me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but if I withhold things and I don't talk about how I'm feeling on the inside, one, it just eats you up,
mm-hmm.
number one. It's not good. But secondly, she doesn't get to share in that. She
I don't
doesn't
get a chance to live that out with you, to walk that out with you, to pray for him.
Yeah, because when we take our vows
him.
To be marriage,
yeah.
you know, to be marriage. When we take our vows to be married, it's for better or worse, sickness and health, until we die, right? So we're going to share in the good times. We're going to share in the challenging times. We need to share.
That's right.
In
That's
all
right.
of it.
And we're getting better.
We don't get to pick and choose.
Yeah.
We're sharing in all of it.
So we
right?
make decisions together. We communicate, you know.
Right.
No one dominates the other.
Yep.
And, you know, dominating the other in important decision making is just, it's a negative impact on your marriage.
Right.
Marriage truly is not created for dominant people. I was one. And you know,
mm-hmm.
it just brought sadness and heartache into our life.
Right.
And so marriage can be brutal if
mm-hmm.
you're a selfish, dominating, negative person.
Well, and you know, you were dominating in one sense. You know, I was passive aggressive and can
mm-hmm.
be still to this day at times. Just depending on what I might
what
be dealing
you.
With.
Yeah,
I get triggered or whatever.
For sure.
And
for
you
sure.
know, so I still have things that I'm working on and working out, whatever. So I'm not, you know, I've not arrived.
No. Nor will we ever.
But what I would say is that I was dominant in another way,
mm-hmm.
right? You
mm-hmm.
were more overt, but I was covert
yeah,
in dominance,
yeah, yeah.
right? I do silent treatment. I do different things to manipulate.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes just not feeling safe to share because I was a person. I mean, I know you don't like conflict either, but I'm the kind of person that doesn't really like, I run from conflict at times. It's not a good thing. You know, you have to face your fears and just deal with the issues head on. But we've both grown
mm-hmm.
in our different ways that we approach that thing, you know.
So, so why do we share all of this? Well, we share a lot of what we go through and what we've went through because he is now, we have to create that safe space for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like we talked about that, I think, last week or the week
yeah.
before.
And we're going to talk about that here in
a minute.
Yeah.
yeah. So we're creating, you know, the law of partnership truly at its core means that that he is my safe spot to land.
Right.
I can come to him and with whatever, and there's no judgment, criticism, dominance, negativity. It is seeking to understand if I've done something, you know, it's just, I know that I can trust him now to be, to not run from me or not love me. I still feel loved when I'm sharing something that's not so great to share.
Yeah.
He is my safe space. And that is what we need to create for one another as spouses. And again, you're going to talk about, you know, next law. Sorry, yeah. Is your phone or my phone?
That was mine.
I'm not, something's I've buzzing around here.
I shut my phone off, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It's still buzzing.
Anyway, create a safe space. Be each other's soft landing spot in your marriage. Create that partnership.
So thank you. That's a great segue into law number four. We have to create an atmosphere of honesty and purity. So this is the law of purity. So let me just, you know, touch again on Genesis chapter chapter 2, verse 25. It says, now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. So that's purity.
At its core.
At its core, right? They felt no shame. They were not ashamed by each other's nakedness. So we're trying to create this place of purity in our marriage.
When I read that now, probably way back when, I would read it and be a literal, they were naked and not ashamed of each other physically.
Yeah, yeah.
I read that there, but I also, what I feel I read into that is they were naked emotionally.
Yeah.
You know, they were bearing themselves. There was no shame. They were naked and had no shame. And and I think that meant the whole realm of emotionally and you
all
know,
of
physically.
It. Physically.
And, yeah, all of that. So,
you know, levels of intimacy that, you know, maybe we can't fully understand this side of heaven, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
We're working toward that.
Yeah.
We're working toward those levels for sure. But we may not, because at that time when this was written, sin had not entered in.
Right.
Right. The fall hadn't happened.
Yep.
So, you know, they were in, I get just for lack of better, they were in their most purest form of perfection. Right. So they were unhindered in every way. Like you said, emotionally, physically, in everything.
All of it.
And so, you know, we pursue that for sure. Mm-hmm. Back to point number two. So God created a marriage to be a relationship of total intimacy in every aspect of life. Like
That's
you
right.
said, physical, mental, emotional,
relationally,
spiritually,
all of it.
No
all
fear, it. Right? The Bible says in the New
have
Testament.
That
what?
I was like, oh, we're talking about
that. well, that's good. I mean, the Holy Spirit was, you know, revealing
that's
things
right.
to you. That's awesome.
That's right.
It just confirms what we're talking about. I just lost my scripture.
That's all right.
That's okay. Oh, perfect love drives out all fear. So when you know that, you know, I think that's in one of the letters from John, if I'm not mistaken. First John, I can't remember. Maybe you could look that up for us and pull that up. But anyway, I'll talk about it while you're looking at it. But perfect love drives out fear, and so when you get to the level of knowing that you're loved perfectly by number one God,
1 John 4:18.
1 John 4:18 is the scripture that I'm referencing. But when you know that from God first, obviously, when you know that he loves you so much, that he already knows everything that's going on in your life anyway, right? And you understand the perfect love that he had. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we don't have to be cleaned up and perfect for God to love us the way that he loved us and continues to love us each and every day, right? He loves us unconditionally, right? He doesn't want us to live in sin, but he came and died for sin. And so when I can talk to my wife, or she can talk to me about the most intimate things, and there's no fear, then you start to understand what perfect love starts to look like.
And
the best that we can right now.
And I would add no fear, no shame, and no guilt.
Right. Right.
That's big.
Perfect love
That's big.
Drives out
Amen.
Fear.
Amen.
Fear of repercussion, fear of revenge, whatever the fears could be, right? Fear of retribution. Whatever the fear you might have in thinking, I can't share this with my spouse. Well, if you guys have built a foundation of purity and intimacy and you can share without judgment and knowing that if you've got God in your life and he is directing your life and you're not self-directed like I was for so many years in my life, then God can restore and heal anything, regardless of what you end up sharing. And I know that's tough. We can speak to that. We know that God can heal anything and will heal anything. If you will submit to Him
anything
and yield to Him.
Turn it into
He'll make
good.
It right.
He will make it right.
He makes makes bad things good.
His word
good.
Does not return void.
And
it is in His word.
Read the story of Joseph in Genesis, again, another book in the first book of the Bible.
Amen.
And God restored a bad situation for Joseph. He makes all things good and new. Can you say amen?
And diligently seek after Him.
Yeah, so you can only be intimate in an atmosphere of purity. This means you're careful and you take responsibility for your behavior, right? So if I say something, you know, harsh or, you know, what's the word I'm thinking about? It's a word that you said Laura used when she was talking to you last week. She was talking to a nurse or something. Snarky. So if I say something snarky or, you know, smart aleck at a totally inappropriate time, we're not in a place where we're trying to be, you know, jovial or joking. I mean, it's a kind of a somber moment or whatever. And I'm throwing in these sarcastic comments or I'm being snarky toward you or whatever. I need to take responsibility for my behavior.
Mm-hmm.
It was out of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we can't ever do that, but I need to have some discernment and wisdom when I do certain
be
things.
Self-aware.
Right? And so when you do something and you know that it's hurting someone, apologize. Take responsibility for your behavior. Don't put it on somebody else and say it's them. If you know you've done, and again, Holy Spirit's living on the inside of you, and so He's your teacher, He's your guide. So when you feel a conviction that you did something that may have hurt someone, you know, take the high road and apologize for it. Say, I'm so sorry that I said that to you right now. That was inappropriate. It wasn't the right time. I mean, we shouldn't be joking about certain things. And I know that hurt you, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. Don't let your ego get in the way.
Yeah.
Just be humble and allow the Lord to fix
a
wrong that may have happened in the moment.
Yeah, it's hard to open yourself up and be vulnerable and to perceive you as a safe spot, you know, a safe place for me. When you're not even taking responsibility for something that's hurting me,
right?
You know, whether it's a legit hurting me and I have cause to be hurt, or it's a perception and it's my reality, it still doesn't feel good, and it still causes me to close up.
Exactly.
And so that's what we're talking about, is just being self-aware and being humble, like you said, and have enough humility to go back and talk about this with your spouse, because the more that you are able to do that, and the more that you're able to, okay, I was wrong, I shouldn't have done that, please forgive me, that draws you closer.
It does.
You know, it creates that safe spot, and you're communicating. That's the big key, is you have to communicate in your marriages. You can't go through a marriage and not communicate. It doesn't work, because underneath it all, there are problems.
Yeah, it starts with the heart.
Absolutely, always.
You know, you have to have a pure heart. We're talking about purity and honesty, and so... if your heart's not pure and you're doing things to manipulate to win, and it's about you winning and getting what you want, then your motivation's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with a pure heart, and that your motivation is pure in what you're wanting to see out of your marriage. Because when your motivation is pure, then the scripture that you looked up for me in 1 John 4, chapter 18, or sorry,
28. No, I don't know.
Anyway, 1 John chapter 4, verses 18 in that area. Perfect love draws. I can't even say it now. Just stop, Richard.
Perfect love. Move on.
Perfect love casts out all fear. When you know that, back to the motivation of purity, when you have that, then that scripture can come alive in
your
marriage.
That's right. And so many more.
Absolutely. And so many more.
So many more.
Amen. So why don't you bring us home, babe?
Yeah. So if you can keep these four laws at really the core and the center of your marriage, you're going to go back to these, and like each one of these laws have tons of different things that we could talk about in them, and a lot of things that we've already done, you know, teachings on as well. But if you keep your marriage number one,
right,
law of priority, you understand that your marriage is going to take work.
Right.
Everything else in your life you have to work for. Mm-hmm. Everything else in your life you have to work for to get success. your marriage is no different.
Right.
That is the law of pursuit.
Yeah.
Pursue each other.
Yeah.
Go back to the days of your youth when you pursued each other, mm-hmm. and how alive that made you feel, right?
Yeah.
Marriage is sharing. The law of partnership. We share the big things, the little things. We talk about it and we share the law of partnership and the law of purity. Be careful what you say and do.
Yep.
Be careful who's in your sphere. Be careful who you hang out with. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you allow into the eye gate and the ear gate. It matters. Mm-hmm. It truly matters. So that is the law of purity. So if you can keep these things at the foundation, the heart of your marriage, you're going to have not just a great marriage, but just a marriage that is abundantly prosperous and overflowing in the promises of the Bible that God promised us, all of that.
Yeah.
It's amazing what a little humility can do when you say, okay, I'm wrong. I'm wrong and I'm doing things, you know, I'm doing things the wrong way.
It's hard.
I need to make a shift and I need to change directions.
When you're used to doing things a particular way for so long, unhealthy, you know, unhealthy emotional responses, whatever. It takes time to make the shift. And so
It takes work.
It takes work. And I think the biggest thing, a big obstacle for all of us is pride. Mm-hmm. So when pride gets in the way, you know, you're not willing to say, I'm sorry. You're not willing to look at your portion or your part in where the trouble is in your marriage, and you're not taking responsibility for it. So if you'll just consider that and say, you know, I just need to drop my pride. Mm-hmm. I want my marriage to be better. Amen. It can be better. I don't have to be stuck.
Amen.
You don't have to be stuck. You can actually implement these laws, and we hope that some of the stories that we've shared from our life today will help you. To give you some practical advice about things that's happened in our own life.
Amen.
But like Donna said, there is so much more to these laws, and you can study them, and you can just contemplate and meditate on these things, meditate on the scriptures. There's another scripture that I'll tell you about purity just real quick. It's 1 Corinthians 6:16. I'm not going to read it, but it talks about purity and not defiling the marriage bed. So again, that's a part of purity. So Amen. You've got to get the Word of God in you, so that it will help you implement these laws and to follow these very things. So
Amen.
I just feel like there's people out there that need prayer in this area. And we just want to encourage you, and we believe God's best for your life and Amen. For your marriage. And we're not going to quit sharing these biblical truths and just the insights from our own life that God has helped us through over the years. We want to give those to you. We want to give it away. Everything that we have is free. We want to give it away to you, and we believe it's going to help you wherever you're at in your life and your marriage.
Amen.
If you've just been recently married, or you've been married for 30 years, like we have, we know God can help you
Amen.
Wherever you're at. So, Father, we just thank you for everyone listening, everyone watching. We just thank you, Father God, that you are touching hearts. You've touched hearts and lives. You're bringing revelation and truth into their lives right now. You're helping them to see that if they would just pursue these four laws, work at their marriage.
Yes, God.
Build purity and honesty back into their marriage.
Thank you, Lord.
Make partnership a priority to share in everything. That's not territorial anymore. It's us. It's we. It's not I or me. It's us.
Yes.
And so, Father God, I thank you that you are impacting marriages right now.
Yes, God.
Thank you, Holy Spirit, for going out. You're not constrained by any earthly realm. You are everywhere at all times,
thank
and you're
you,
moving
Jesus.
And you're working in the hearts of your people. And so, Father, we thank you that people are being healed mentally of trauma that may be affecting their marriage. We thank you that people are being healed physically from things that may have caused trauma in their life that's been carried into the marriage. We just thank you that you are working and you're moving because you know the needs of each and every person that is listening right now. And we thank you, Father, that you are healing and touching lives in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
So, Father, thank you. We give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We love you so much.
Love you guys.
We're praying for you, praying for your marriages, and we'll...
And if you have any questions, just email us at marriageminute@revivalnow.com, and we would love to answer your questions. Yeah.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So God bless you.
Thank you for listening today. Catch all of our podcasts at revivalnow.com and send us your Marriage Minute questions at marriageminute@revivalnow.com.